Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Becker on Darren Donick and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joints. Smoother than smooth. Mitch after Mason. Every Tuesday on the program in the final hour. Mitch Light from The Athletic, as the rain is starting to come down here in Smyrna, is on the line with us. Mitch, how you doing?
I'm good, Darren. Peeking out the window here in Bellevue. All appears dry so far.
Well, just letting you know that if you don't have rain, it may be coming your way. Just a heads up. Boy, Saturday night was fun, right? With some of the games, some of the choices that we had to watch. Let's start with the one that was on the national stage on NBC, and no Trevor Lawrence. He's on the sidelines wearing his mask, not playing. And boy, Clemson and Notre Dame went back and forth, and what a finish. And Notre Dame gets the win. So with that being said, and I know they'll probably turn around and face each other again with Trevor Lawrence in there, but with that being said, what did that mean for both teams? What did the win for the Irish mean, and what did the loss for Clemson mean in your mind?
Well, it's obviously huge for Notre Dame. You know, program win. Much was made about, you know, the first win over number one team since 1993. So, you know, big picture program, obviously huge for Notre Dame. For this year, it's very important because depending on what goes on around them, they could, in theory, lose to Notre Dame. If they win their last three regular season games and lose to Clemson in the championship game of the ACC, they could very well, you know, make the playoffs. A lot of people say, oh, it doesn't really matter for Clemson. You know, they were shorthanded. They beat Notre Dame in the championship game they're in. That's true. But what have you been talking about all year? There are three great teams, or who think great teams are, and Clemson had been ranked number one. They likely won't be ranked number one anymore. So they will have to play an Ohio State or an Alabama. You know, their first game in the playoff will be far more difficult than if they were the number one seed and playing, you know, a third game against Notre Dame, although that probably wouldn't happen at Texas A&M. So I think it just kind of shows you that Clemson is very, very good. They're clearly not unbeatable. They had some defensive guys out. And, you know, they struggled with Boston College. They didn't play great for a while against Syracuse. So sometimes we can't just assume teams are as good as they looked earlier in the year.
Yeah. So let me just say this real quick before we move on to the SEC. Do you think Notre Dame is the real deal, or do you think, you know, they were rewarded for not playing against the best player in college football?
I think that helped. But, you know, they also scored 47 points
yeah.
against Clemson. So, and we can't – that's a great win. I don't care who's, you know, not playing for Clemson. It's sort of like in college basketball when you're talking about teams in the bubble. Like, what are some of the best wins? So, like, these teams that are vying for that fourth spot, who have they beaten? You know, Texas A&M will brag about that win against Florida. Well, Notre Dame's going to brag about that win against Clemson. So, you know, I've seen them – I haven't seen every one of their games. They've been playing well lately. I saw them struggle against Louisville. Saw them struggle against Duke. But, you know, like I just said, Clemson struggled against Boston College. Very few teams, other than maybe Alabama, are going to go through a year without struggling. So right now they're 7-0, and they just beat the number one team in the country. So they deserve all the credit, praise, whatever the word is this week.
You brought up Florida. Let's talk about the game that was played down in Jacksonville. Look, I knew Kyle Trask was good, but that – I mean, just watching that, watching every single snap of that game on Saturday afternoon, man, he blew me away. I mean, Mac Jones has had a nice season in Alabama. Kyle Trask is by far, I shouldn't say by far. He's the best quarterback in the league, and he may end up getting in the discussion for Heisman if he keeps playing like this. Man, some of his throws, Mitch, at this level in college, just to be laying them in there. Like, and by the way, how good is he on those, like, wheel routes, running backs coming yep. out of the backfield and leading them down the sidelines for, like, 20, 25-yard gains? Man, he was really impressive to watch.
Yeah, he's really good. And I think I've told you this, you know, at The Athletic, I work with our Florida writer and Ohio State writer, so I've seen pretty much – every snap of both of those teams, and Justin Fields is like that too. Justin Fields, there's open receivers, they have a great offense, but as far as ball placement and just putting the, you know, reading the defense, going to the right guy, Trask and Fields are the two best, in my opinion, in the country. Now, again, I don't watch every snap of Trevor Lawrence. Mac Jones has an offense where, I mean, he's having a great year too, but I'll still a quote from my colleague David Ubben, who covers Tennessee. I think in the middle of the Tennessee Alabama game, David tweeted something like, "Mac Jones seems very indecisive out there about which wide open receiver to throw it to." so
that's a good line.
Yeah, so you know, Mac Jones is a great player, but to your point, you really when you watch a guy. I go back to a Florida quarterback from 20 years ago, the best I ever saw in person, Danny Werfel, as far as ball placement and putting the ball on the money all the time. But you're right, Trask has been great. And I looked this up earlier in the year when he got up to a good start. He will be by far, if he's a Heisman Trophy finalist, he will, in the last 20 years, by far the lowest recruiting ranking. He's coming out of, I mean, everyone knows his story. Coming out of Manville, Texas, he was ranked like 2,100 in the country. There's been a couple of guys in the thousands, Baker Mayfield, Jordan Lynch, the former Northern Illinois quarterback, and there was one other. So, but he would be, his recruiting ranking was like 2,164.
Well, you just nailed it. I mean, so many times in college football, and that's what we try to break up. Like, watch them. Like, they throw to wide open. They're not throwing to spots. They're throwing to wide open guys downfield. Well, look at those. I mean, by the way, a credit to the hands, the targets that he was throwing to. Man, those Florida receivers and tight ends, and running backs. Man, they made some incredible catches. Like they were contested. Georgia's defense was all over them. I mean, that Kyle Pitts, he's another one. Man, I'll tell you what.
Right.
The Titans, I wouldn't mind seeing them draft him. Whenever he becomes eligible, that guy is a massive target, and man, does he have great hands!
Yeah, well, you know, we can't just Trask's job is a lot easier when he's throwing it to a guy he knows is going to win those 50-50 balls. But
true.
That was an impressive part of the Florida attack against Georgia. They've been living on Kyle Trask and Kadarius Toney. Well, Trask goes out. I mean, Pitts and Toney. Well, Pitts goes out with a concussion and he's questionable this week. And Toney had some catches. But and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but something like 75% or 70% of Trask's yards were to players other than those two.
Mitch, so I will tell you right now, I thought of all the weapons, all the guys that he threw to for almost 500 yards, I thought Toney impressed me the least of all
but
the targets.
You caught him on a bad day because he's had a great year.
Okay.
You know,
I wasn't impressed with him Saturday.
Okay, I will be sure he gets that word, that Darren McFarland.
Please pass that along to him. too much bouncing around, just bouncing. And he does a lot of movement. I mean, there's a lot of movement going on, but he's not getting anywhere. It's like, dude, get downfield.
Maybe, you know, stuff that's worked earlier in the year, it didn't work against Georgia specifically, you know, picking on the wrong defenders there, but he has had, you know, he's that when you make moves like that, like there's been some screen grabs where I think I might have been the South Carolina game where he had the ball and there was like there was a semicircle of three or four South Carolina defenders around him and he scored him on that play. So, you know, when you do amazing things like that, it's sort of like the old Barry Sanders thing, you know. When you dance, you bounce around sometimes in the backfield, you're going to get have some negative plays, but you're also going to make some spectacular plays.
Yeah, let me know what his response is, okay? What his rebuttal is.
I got a call with him right after this show. So.
Talking to Mitch Leitf of The Athletic. So, Mitch, where does Georgia go from here? With all the expectations that they've had, that it's been sort of a disappointing run here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, that we talked last week, and that game just showed you, and this, I'm not breaking new ground here, that shows the importance of the quarterback position in college football. Georgia has a better roster. We can all agree. You know, they follow recruiting rankings, whatever, that they have more talent from players, you know, the 85, 86-man roster, but Florida's quarterback was much, much, much better. And they need a good quarterback. They need an elite. They don't need an elite quarterback. They need a good to great quarterback to win. And they have their defense, and looking at their schedule right now, they've given up 21 points or fewer in four games, and then they played two teams with great offenses, and they've given up 44 points and 44 points. So just kind of good defenses can no longer, for the most part, stop good offenses in college football. So, you know, a lot's been made of Kirby Smart's philosophy. I think that he needs to have a Nick Saban sort of philosophical switch, and maybe he has. He just can't do it this year because they don't have the right quarterback. You know, it's easier to make that switch when you've got Tua Tagovailoa as your quarterback, sort of like Alabama did. You know, they got a five-star quarterback coming in from Georgia in-state who I would think would have a chance to win the job next year. But there's nothing wrong. Georgia's not broken. Like, I'd rather be where they are than every other team in the country, maybe except for Ohio State, Alabama, and Clemson. Like, they can fix what's wrong with their roster much more easily than, you know, a team that's 6-4 and trying to figure it out. So it's like, let's not feel sorry for Georgia, but clearly they are not good enough to get where they want to go and where their fans want to go.
So with Michigan really struggling, we know Ohio State looks really good. The Big Ten has had some games each week that have you scratching your head going, wow, I didn't really see that coming. So tell me on the horizon, who is Ohio State going to have to beat to maintain their status of, hey, this is one of the four best teams? So who could maybe trip them up unexpectedly, or do you think it'll be smooth sailing for them?
Well, I think big picture it'll be smooth sailing. They are really, really good. Their defense hasn't been quite as good as you might expect, but now Bill Landis, who covers Ohio State for us, did a good job breaking down their Rutgers game. Like, all Rutgers ran a bunch of gadget plays, and I know every yard counts, but like when Rutgers wasn't doing like a quarterback throwback or throwing to the offensive lineman or something, you know, they only averaged 3.1 yards per play. So their defense was good against Rutgers. It wasn't like what their standards are. You know, they go to Maryland this week. Maryland's been really good the last 2 weeks, obviously beat Penn State badly. You know, looking at their schedule, Indiana, who's number 10 in the country right now, is going to be on paper their most difficult game. And, you know, Penn State, from a talent standpoint, is the most talented team they played, but clearly Penn State's not playing good football right now. So Ohio State is great, but when a home game against Indiana's your toughest game of the year, you know, it hasn't been the most difficult schedule. But I think, like, I'm not trying to say anything like they don't deserve anything. They're fantastic. Like, right now, to win a national title, I'd probably pick Alabama, but Ohio State would be right behind them.
Mitch Leitf is with us from The Athletic, talking all things college football. I know it's way too early to bring this up, but here goes. So in your mind, is Florida to have the two SEC team scenario in the playoffs, do they have to win the SEC, or could a two-loss Florida team with losses to A&M and Alabama still make the playoff in your mind?
Well, Florida, their biggest problem is they lost to Texas A&M. And So Texas, if you're looking for that fourth team, and I'll kind of bounce around here, Chase, Notre Dame winning was not good for Texas A&M because you know, if Notre Dame loses that game, you'd assume they'd lose to Clemson in the championship game. So that would be just one ACC team now. If Clemson beats Notre Dame, you very well could have two ACC teams. And I think a Notre Dame team with one loss to Clemson would make it over probably a one loss. The more I say that, maybe not, but a one loss Texas A&M team that's only lost is Alabama. So, but you see the point there. I think, again, to your question, I think Florida really needs Texas A&M to lose, which in a weird way makes Florida look worse because the team they lost to would have another loss. So assuming Florida loses to Alabama, you know, a lot has to happen. It's a weird year. I definitely wouldn't rule it out. But what would be interesting would be the committee looking at it and saying, okay, Florida lost by 3 points on a basically a walk-off field goal to Texas A&M. It's a rational argument to think that Florida's better than Texas A&M, even though they lost that game. But I don't see the committee picking Florida over Texas A&M, all things being equal, when Florida lost to them.
Yeah, and it continues to be just that confusing, you know, of how they're gonna figure all this out. A guy I want to ask you about. We saw Liberty beat Virginia Tech. Hugh Freeze has that thing just on all cylinders right now. He's going to get another job, whether it's the SEC or somewhere else. Where do you see him landing, and do you think it could be the SEC?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I've been a big Hugh Freeze. I was a Hugh Freeze fan. I'm a fan of his coaching, put it that way. Not a fan of some of the other things he's done. But I remember when you know, Arkansas State hired him. And then with Ole Miss, I really liked the Ole Miss hire. He, you know, it's a totally different level, but I did some research. Like, he coached at Lambeth. They were bad before he got there, and then they were bad after he got there. He got, you know, I think he was the one, you know, Arkansas State had that string of one-year coaches. He was the first one, and he got that thing rolling. And then Ole Miss was got good and got fun to watch, and then obviously he's done a great job at Liberty. You know, Auburn is always a – interesting spot. There's always, you know, you got to take Gus Malzahn.
It's always open, it feels like.
Yeah, you got to take the fans' temperature every day on Gus Malzahn. But I think if you ask Auburn fans right now, would you want Hugh Freeze next year or Gus Malzahn, probably 80% would want Hugh Freeze. It's sort of like the backup quarterback. Everyone loves, you know, the guy who's not in charge there. Excuse me. So, yeah, I think he will be in the SEC again. You know, there's two issues that an athletic director or school would have to look at. You know, his the stuff on his phone from the establishment in Tampa is one thing, but also NCAA violations, which, you know, I'm not saying guys don't deserve a second chance, but that's obviously something that you have to look at.
Yeah, and I feel like as much as I would, you know, think, okay, he'd be a good fit at a certain school that we all know, I don't think they would take a chance on him. I just, you know, it probably wouldn't happen if Vanderbilt were to make a change.
Oh, I'd be shocked, be stunned. Yeah, I you know, from a football coach, sure, he's a good football coach, but extracurricular activities, and no, I mean, who knows? Never say never, but I'd be shocked.
Harrison Bailey, do the Vols stick with him?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. You probably need to. You need to go with what. You know, see what he's got in a role where he can relax and he knows he can go into a game and not have to look over his shoulder. But it's, you know, it's a tricky situation over there. But, you know, I know I'm kind of – he would be the guy I would go with. I think you need to see what he can do over the final, whatever, three or four games to see if he's the answer going into next year. And not have the situation where, again, he's going for a series, not letting them throw the ball, all that stuff. So, but yeah, not ideal right now at the quarterback position in Tennessee.
I kind of felt like Jeremy Pruitt answering that. I mean, you just seemed a little off with where you wanted to go with that. You seemed a little frazzled with.
Well, I've been working with Coach Pruitt on. He's been, I'm sort of back as quarterback, you know. He calls me and asks me what he should do at the quarterback position. So I know what's going to happen. I just didn't want to reveal too much information.
Oh, okay. So you're trying to be careful with your information.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Mitch, good stuff. Stay dry. Rain's coming your way. Thanks for doing this.
I'm inside, but thanks for the heads up.
Mitch Looking Light, out for him. Looking
from
out for
the
him.
Athletic. Good stuff, as always. He always follows Mason. Mitch after Mason is what we call it on Tuesdays in the final hour. Now you're going to get a word from
Chase.
Are
you outside, Darren? Is that why you're, you know, giving everybody the heads up?
He's hey, under
watch out. The rain's coming. The rain's coming. I thought you were inside.
I was nervous. We've been outdoors doing a show whenever rain came, and it makes me very nervous because I've seen what can happen. I've seen like an engineer almost get blown away. So
we have.
The question is going to be, because I know that you've been working on your porch, are you going to do the show from the porch at some point?
Boy, that is a fantastic question. I guess logistically I would need your help.
Yes.
On whether that can happen whenever it is finished, because there are going to be certain days when I absolutely would love to do it from the screened-in porch.
It could happen. We can make that happen.
Yeah, you think?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's easy.
Well, we'll discuss off the air. Right now, you tell people about padding their pockets so maybe they can build a screened-in porch at their house.
Yes, and it's very easy for you to do. I've been telling you about BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. They're inviting you, new customers, to get a piece of the action with Instant Match. Now, what is Instant Match? I mean, you heard me talk about it all weekend, that I had a fun weekend. I was on my BetMGM app placing my wagers. The underdogs were barking. Well, this is what you need to do. Sign up today and get your first deposit instantly doubled with up to $500 in free bets when you enter the bonus code INSTANT1025GAME. That's INSTANT1025GAME. Then get ready to turn big plays into paydays with the most innovative parlay selection tools available, plus boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. There's something different every day that you can take advantage of with BetMGM. Light up your screen with the same people that light up the Las Vegas Strip with the most popular sports books and casinos. Download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code INSTANT1025GAME to get your first deposit matched with up to $500 in free bets. If it's game day in Tennessee, it's showtime at BetMGM, the official sports betting partner of the Tennessee Titans. You must be 21 years or older, must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I have been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.